The first set of week two readings focus on the literature review and arguments for stricter immigration policies. We start with Knopf and Doing a Literature Review, which is a recent article published for a graduate student audience that is preparing longer master's theses and doctoral dissertations. And even though it is intended for a different audience, I do think that it is quite relevant for our purposes, understanding how to construct a literature review, which is your first major writing assignment that is due in the near future. So I want you to be reading this carefully to better understand how to structure your own literature review. And with this in mind, I want you to focus on a handful of considerations. I want you to be able to explain what it means to conduct a review of literature, not as a final product, but as one stage in a broader research project. This is the purpose of the literature review for our class. You are looking at a particular topic and contemporary scholarship written on that topic as a way of understanding current debates, current concepts, current theories that will then inform your normative argument in your term paper. In this way, I want you to be able to explain what the general purpose of the literature review in this particular context is. Knopf is quite explicit about this. While he acknowledges that a lot of our research still relies on peer-reviewed academic sources, which means books published by academic presses and articles that are peer-reviewed and published in these academic journals, he does explain at length a number of different forms of research or sources where we draw our references from. And I want you to be able to explain a couple of these. As you will see in the literature review directions, I've got a minimum number of the required scholarly peer-reviewed sources, and then the other, I believe it's another 8 sources, you can draw from non-scholarly peer-reviewed sources, but they need to be reputable, credible sources, and it is in this vein that I want you to be thinking about some of those examples that he gives. I also want you to be able to explain why we should carefully scrutinize sources relevant to our topic that we find on the internet. I think it is all too often that we take for granted that we find information on a website that seems to be legitimate and we accept it as somehow credible. And this is often not the case. Much of the information we find on the internet is not peer-reviewed, it's not vetted by professionals in a particular field. And I want you to be able to explain why it is that we should be skeptical of this type of information. Lastly, I want you to be able to explain how a literature review, according to Knopf, should be constructed. In other words, what does a literature review as a piece of writing consist in? So in this way, I want you to be able to explain suggestions 2 through 5 that he explains on page 129. Paying close attention to the ideas that a literature review is not an annotated bibliography. So this is crucial to understand for your term paper and for the literature review project, that the literature review itself is intended to serve a purpose for your term paper writing, but it itself is a cohesive paper that has a particular thesis that incorporates sources and cites the sources, etc. And I want you to be able to explain what that cohesive paper looks like. And I want you to be aware of the fact that when we write literature reviews, we are often grouping the different sources, different scholars, along lines of similarity. And I want you to be able to explain what some of those similarities are that we might use to group these sources together and what the purpose of that might be. Moving to the substantive reading for the week, Walzer's Sphere of Justice on Membership, and then Justice Berger's Dissenting Opinion in Plyer versus Doe. With Walzer's piece, I want you to be able to explain the two starting assumptions that I give you, and I want you to be thinking about how these assumptions specifically are significant for the strength of his argument, and if we're critiquing his writing, I want you to explain why these assumptions are relevant to his writing. And I give you a couple hints. But I want you to think through these and be able to answer these couple questions. For how these assumptions relate to his writing, you might take a look at Knowing Words Chapter 4 from your introductory writing course. on rhetorical appeals. I've posted these in the Week 2 Section 1 readings, and it is there for your reference. In this vein, I want you to be able to explain two rhetorical appeals that Walzer makes in this chapter. I give you one. I'd prefer that you familiarize yourself with two others, but with the one that I give is his argument by analogy, where he has us think about nations as neighborhoods, clubs, and families. If ultimately you focus on this particular rhetorical appeal as one of the two, I want you to be able to explain which analogy makes the most sense for Walzer. But again, I would like you to find two separate rhetorical appeals, if possible. With Walzer's central claim, I give that to you, that we are talking about political communities having some type of collective freedom, the term that he uses, or collective self-determination, to decide who gains membership, who is able to enter within a particular political community. With that in mind, I want you to be able to reconstruct his argument. Insofar as I want you to be able to give me at least three reasons or pieces of evidence that he uses to support his claim. Also, I want you to think through what the warrant for his argument might be. Again, this is an idea that we need to flesh out a little more as the weeks wear on, but you should be thinking about what fundamental value or idea or principle underlies the argument, what principle, value, or idea we could construct or rest his entire argument on. All arguments are driven either implicitly or explicitly by this fundamental justification, and I want you to be thinking about what that might be for Walzer. With regard to Berger's dissenting opinion, I want you to use this piece as a contrast to Karen's argument that migrants have a fundamental right to education. I think this helps helps to contrast the two positions. So for our purposes, this is a relatively long and dense and technical court decision, the dissenting opinion of the court decision. So I want you to focus on a handful of considerations. Particularly, I want you to be able to identify what the central claim is, and I want you to be able to explain two to three reasons in support of this claim. And I give you a handful of questions that should help you be able to answer these questions in reconstructing his argument. Those questions consist in the following. What does suspect class mean? This is a technical legal term that both Berger and Brennan appeal to in their opposing opinions. What does suspect class mean, and why does Berger argue that illegal aliens or immigrants without documentation do not constitute this type of class? Why does Berger believe that the right to education, while important, is not a fundamental right? What is the significance of legal precedent to Berger's argument? You should also be thinking about this with regard to Berger's writing, the appeal to precedent, previous arguments. And what is one objection Cairns might make against Berger's analysis? This certainly is more open-ended, since Cairns doesn't engage Berger, but be thinking about how someone like Cairns, and you might be thinking about Brennan's majority opinion, how someone like Cairns or Brennan might object to Berger's analysis. And then that last point I reiterate, be thinking, critiquing the writing itself, and be thinking about how it could be problematic that both Berger and Brennan appeal to precedent to somehow strengthen or bolster their argument. This might require you to look back to week one's readings. I give you the chapter 6 in Knowing Words, and at the end of that chapter, I also include the list of logical fallacies. Read through that list and see what logical fallacy Berger and or Brennan could be committing and how that impacts the strength of their writing.